Hello, and welcome to Owning Up, the official podcast of the Association for Military Spouse Entrepreneurs, or AMSE. I'm your host, Jamie Muskoff, and in this fourth episode, I speak with Deputy Director and Founder of WISE, Laura Early. As a business owner, Laura helps other business owners develop their strategic and cultural priorities to grow their business and increase profit. And in our conversation, she talks openly about growing from a two-person company to one of more than 40 employees, her struggles with saying no, her tips for communicating with a non-co-located co-founder, and getting comfortable with your role as you grow. My conversation with Deputy Director and Co-Founder of WISE, Laura Early, begins right now. So thanks so much, Laura, for joining us. We're very excited to have you on Owning Up. So would you mind starting off by talking a little bit about you and how you got started?
Yeah, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm a huge fan of all things AMSE, so it's exciting to be a part of this. I'm totally an accidental entrepreneur. I had a very traditional job in nonprofit before I married military. And even after I married military, I did very diverse jobs, but all kind of typical, either corporate, nonprofit type of things. So it really wasn't until I met my business partner, Diana, almost like 7 years ago now, where we started the conversation of a business. And that's really where WISE was born for me, was out of conversations with this military spouse that I met volunteering for the first time because I was out of traditional work at that time and I wanted to be able to continue to serve. I'm not good at being home and doing nothing. So we didn't have any kids at the time. So I really needed something to occupy myself. So we just started talking about our struggles. Both of us were at crossroads in our careers, looking for something different, really sick and tired of working for employers that didn't understand military life, wanting to be fully present for our families. And my business partner was expecting at the time and just trying to plan for the future. And so we began to talk about just what our ideal situation would look like, something that would be flexible, something that would allow us to use our talents, somewhere where we would be able to grow and learn and have career progression, which is kind of funny because we don't really have career progression as the founders and like CEOs, but our team has that. So that conversation grew into, you know, what if we came together to serve small business clients? And then what if we offered it to our peers and friends in the military community who are looking for the same thing? So WISE was born in a Panera Bread in Columbus, Georgia, near Fort Benning, four years ago, just about a little bit over. And we are an outsourcing agency. So we help small business owners grow by providing services like graphic design, web design, social media marketing, admin, and more. And we primarily focus on giving employment to military and veteran spouses who had a lot of the same issues we had and still have. We want flexible remote careers that there's a place for them to grow and progress while they're PCSing throughout the military. And so that relates to me. I'm a military spouse. I'm also someone who's always really wanted a long-term professional career. That's always been important to me to have something to strive for. And so there are just so many things about the founding of WISE that aligned for me. But on a personal level, I am just someone who loves to have fun. I'm really honest. I'm an immigrant, which is a really fun fact. So I have a pretty diverse background, both personally and professionally. And yeah, it's just exciting to be on this journey and to see where we've grown over the course of the last 4 years.
Absolutely. I think it's impressive and it's awesome. But tell me about some of maybe in the beginning of your business, what was that looking like getting started and getting off the ground?
Sure. Well, first of all, I am so thankful to have a co-founder who had started businesses before. So I would encourage anyone out there, if you're thinking about starting a business and you're like me and knew nothing about starting a business, having someone that knows that stuff is really helpful. I came from primarily a nonprofit background. Like I said, I had worked for an e-commerce company before. So it's kind of a startup, kind of on my own, but not really going through the whole process of launching a business. So having Diana someone who had experienced that before, made it a lot easier for me because she really helped us through a lot of that, establishing our LLC, deciding what state we should establish it in, and kind of figuring out some of the structure stuff. We both had some great contacts in the business world and legal friends, lawyers who could help us and support us in some of that. So the getting started was actually a lot easier than I thought. And for me, that probably wasn't a good thing because I definitely didn't know what I was getting myself into as an entrepreneur. Like, I knew it would be difficult. I knew that there would be challenges, but I was like, I trust this person. I really believe in what we're doing. I love the mission of what we're doing. We'll just figure it out as we go along, and thank goodness we have, but that hasn't been without its challenges. And I think for me, there's been a lot of mindset shift over the years of what it takes to not just start a business, but now run a business. And for us, we have a pretty large team. So now we're running a business with a whole bunch of people who depend on us. And that was always the vision. It was always the plan. But things coming to fruition and dealing with them in reality is a lot different than when you're sitting, you know, in Fort Benning, Georgia, with the two of you launching a business and having full ownership of everything and knowing what's going on and hand selecting your clients. You know, things have changed since those days.
Sure. So one of the things that I thought interesting about some of the struggles that you've mentioned with the business was saying no to opportunities. That's something I think we've talked about a little bit on the show before, but I think that that's a really important thing to talk about because most people think, oh, I'm going to say yes. And of course, we want all the business in the world. But what did that look like for you as a challenge?
Yeah. So personally, I'm really bad at saying no. Anyone who knows me on a personal level, like, so bad at it. It's like, do you want to go do this? Yes. Do you want to do this? Yes, yes, yes. Do you like this? Yes. Like, that is me. I'm yes all the way. Part of it's because I have a really hard time with FOMO and I never want to experience it. So there's that. So that for me was just a huge struggle. And then when you're starting a business, you want clients. Like, that's the whole point, mm-hmm. right? You need clients and customers so that they can pay you so that you can make money. Like, duh, that's what makes sense. And so it's really counterintuitive when you're starting a business to be like, no, clients, you're not the right fit for us. We don't want to serve you. And so that's mm-hmm. something really in the first year and a half to 2 years of our business, we had to learn because there are clients that are a good fit for you and for your business. And there are clients that are not. And I always say, your gut is never wrong. And when you get that weird feeling like, feel okay, we could help them, because the question is never can you help them. Sure, you can help them. It's should you, and are they the right fit, and are there any red flags in the process? It's really easy to say no to a client or a potential client when there's like a big giant red flag, like they say something straight up that doesn't align with your values, or they're super demanding from like the first call. Like, there's certain things that can be like big red flags. But for me, it was really hard to say no in those moments where there wasn't that big glaring stop sign. It was just, I didn't feel like it was right, or taking it on would have put our team in a hard place. We already had a lot of work going, so it wasn't the right time. Or the client, you know, had this really great big vision, or they didn't necessarily have that broken down into small attainable goals. And it's like, we really believe in the mission of what they're doing, but do they have realistic goals? Maybe not. So saying no was hard in that sense. And, you know, we want business, we want the money, we want to grow our company. And so it's really hard when you are facing that and you have this client that's like, I really, really want to work with you. And you're just like, I don't know if they're the right fit, but it could be a $2,000 a month project. Like, that's great for our company. So why would we say no to that? And so that was definitely a learning for me, that some people are just not the right fit in general. Some people aren't ready for what you're offering. And some people just don't align with your values, or they have really unrealistic expectations. And that's something that you just have to admit. Or you might not be able to serve them well. And I think it's doing yourself a disservice when you try to stretch yourself so far that it's going to end up being really stressful for you or for your team. So saying no is still a challenge for me. But thankfully I have a team who helps me keep me from saying no. And we have a few more people to bounce ideas off of. But when you're first starting a business, it's usually just you, or if you're blessed to have a co-founder, you have a co-founder that you can talk to about those things. But we had to build out filters. So what are our filters? What are the questions we're going to ask? And what are the things, kind of keywords, key indicators that if it doesn't follow this, or if it doesn't, you know, align with our mission, we're not going to do it. Because it's really easy to say, don't do anything that doesn't align with your mission. But there's people that come along where, yeah, it could align with your mission, but they may not be the right person to serve. So you have to build out those filters. And that took us some time and trial and error and some really frustrating client situations to figure out. And then just for me, it's learning to say no to the hustle and grind. You know, being an entrepreneur can be a 24/7 thing if you let it. And there's always something to do for your business. There's always more to do. There's always something on the to-do list. Like, I have never experienced a time in our journey where I'm like, I have accomplished everything on the to-do list. I'm just going to go take a week off and sleep. That hasn't happened for me. So if it's happened for you listeners out there, congratulations, call me. I want all your secrets. But I haven't found that. And so for me, saying no has also looked like choosing time for myself, which is, again, something I will 100% be fully vulnerable and admit I'm not good at choosing myself. I'll choose everyone else before me. And especially when you're growing a business, right? Like, everyone talks about the hustle and the grind. And yes, there are seasons, and putting in a lot of hours is what it takes to build a business. I will never say that it doesn't take hard work, hustle, and a lot of time, because it does. But you also have to choose yourself and choose self-care and say no to certain opportunities to prioritize your family and to prioritize the reasons you started your business. And for us, part of the reason we started our business was to have flexibility to be available for our families. And there have been times in this business where I have definitely, my family has been the lower priority, and I have been hustling and traveling and doing all these things. So that's been a journey for me, as well as learning the no, to clients and the no to situations you don't want to enter as a business, but also learning to just say no to the regular everyday things, shutting down your computer at a certain time, you know, using that airplane mode function that I hear exists on your phone, you know, things like that. And that I'm still walking through that journey today of trying to figure out what harmony looks like in my life. Cause I don't really believe in balance, but kind of choosing what the parameters are going to be for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on the harmony over balance. Yeah, balance is impossible.
Like, you can't do both things perfectly well. Again, if you're that unicorn, call me. I need all the help. But there are seasons where your business is going to, you know, you're going to need to invest more, and that's going to cause other things in your life not to have as much investment. And then there's other times where you really need to invest in family, friends, and certain seasons of your life, and your business has to be a little bit lower. And that's okay. Like, I think knowing that that's okay, and that happens to all of us, but also knowing, how do you plan ahead? How do you say no to things in the moment, so you don't end up looking back and being like, oh my gosh, what happened last year? Everyone else ran my life, not me. I did all of these crazy things, and, you know, and I've had those moments. And so that's where I'm kind of at in the journey, is learning to, like, how do I still prioritize and choose, not just my time, but the life I created this business to have, rather than hustling so hard for the business that I forget the whole purpose of starting in the first place was to have a certain type of lifestyle that I wanted.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm curious about is, as far as saying no and being able to choose your clients and all of that, have you and your co-founder ever had issues? Because one of the things you talked about was kind of going with your gut feeling. And have you ever disagreed on whether or not you're going to, like, this is good, I want to do this, and no, sure, I don't want to do this?
Yeah. I mean, we're people, we're humans. And if you have the privilege of knowing myself and my co-founder, who is amazing, and I absolutely just adore her. And I think that the foundation of any good founding partnership is trust. And I think having that trust is what helps us in these moments where we disagree, because I think we disagree on something just about every week. We're very different people. We come from two very different mindsets. She's very operational and very people-driven, marketing kind of that kind of way. So we disagree on stuff regularly, but I think one of the beautiful things about our co-founding relationship is we have so much trust between us that you have to be able to disagree and commit as co-founders, not just disagree and like gruntingly move along with whatever's happening. You have to disagree and commit to what the other person is saying. So that's what we've had to do in certain situations. You know, we'll get on calls, we'll weigh the pros and cons of should we do it, should we not do it. And if we can't come to an agreement, we usually defer to whose area of expertise is this in and who has the most experience in this. And, you know, it, as long as someone's like reason to not do it or reason to do it is not completely off from the other person, or like someone's reason to do it for not doing it is like because it's an ethical violation or it would hurt our team or hurt the client. Like those are very obvious, really easy reasons to get on the bandwagon and be like, of course we're not doing it. But when it's, I don't want to do it because it's time or I'd rather do this instead. Like those are much harder reasons to like decide, you know, where we're going to go. And so we have a lot of conversations. Usually we'll come to some sort of kind of middle ground reasoning on it. But when we can't, we go back to that. Who's the expert? Who has experience? And we have to just, we have to, you know, whoever's disagreeing, you disagree and you commit to the decision. And that means you support the decision. You do what you can. You have to follow through with the team. You're not like, I didn't think this was a good idea, but we're doing it anyway. Like you have to be like on board with it and going. And there have been times, certainly, I can think of a couple client situations where we were kind of unsure and someone really pushed for it. So we did it. And then we had to come back and one of us had to say to the other, hey, I'm really sorry. I should have really pushed and supported the no, because that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. And I think that that communication is critical. Did you guys know that you were great communicator? I mean, because you have to be great communicators with one another when you're co-founders of a business. But did you know going in that you'd be able to handle those kinds of situations or decisions because you had a relationship before? Is it something that you kind of discovered along the way?
Well, I wouldn't call us great communicators. I think we're on the journey to great communication. Mm-hmm. I think that that is one of the biggest areas that everyone has an opportunity to learn, especially working virtually. You have to really commit to communication, which to me is, we define being a strong communicator at WISE because it's one of our core values, as being honest, asking questions, seeking clarity, and listening. And there are seasons where we've done that really well with each other, and there's seasons where we haven't, or days where we haven't. And it's a constant evolving journey. I think we trusted each other very early on before we even committed to this business. Diana and I are both people of deep faith. And so that helps us as well, knowing that we have the same kind of moral foundation, moral values. We both believe and have developed the core values of the company as well. And so trusting that we both have the best interest of the company in mind helps in those deciding moments. But that doesn't mean there's not frustrating moments of communication. We're both human beings, and it was way easier to communicate when we were a company of like 2 to 10 than now being a company of 40 plus. There's way more going on. There's way more people we have to manage. We have full departments to manage now, which we didn't have before. We talked to each other pretty much all day when we were a company of like 5. And we still talk to each other regularly, but we have to be much more intentional with our communication. Now that we're a large company, there is so much going on that it can basically just be a rundown and not even a conversation. And I find now that we're really good at making big decisions together and communicating those things through. Our struggle comes in the little things and remembering to tell each other the small things or to discuss some of the smaller things because they don't seem as important compared to the big, large scale stuff we have going on. So yeah, I think it's been a journey. I think it's still an evolving journey. I think having that trust, that foundation of just the same morals, the same values, believing the best in each other. I think you have to do that as co-founders. Like, if there are moments where I'm sure she wants to throw me across the room and is really frustrated. And I know there's been moments for me, but it's in those moments you have to remember, I trust this person. I chose to do business with this person. And I believe that they have the best interest of our company in mind, and give them grace, because it's really easy to assume that they're coming from this place where they're trying to make your day ridiculous. And they did that, you know, not that they did it on purpose, but they didn't even think about me when they did this, you know? And it's like, whoa, Laura, it's not all about you, in case you haven't noticed. And this person has the best interest in mind of the company. It's like a marriage. I tell people all the time, I have like two marriages. I have my husband and my work wife. And I'm so privileged to have both. And they both help me learn how to do better with the other. But yeah, it's an ever evolving journey. So I would say we're on our way to becoming better and better communicators every day, but it takes a huge investment of time, with each other. It takes intentionality and it takes trust.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys discovered any particular methods of communicating that helped you? Because one of the, I won't call it an issue, but one of the dynamics in your relationship is that you don't live near one another. Yeah. So how do you deal with that remote communication, and really specifically, like, do you say things like, okay, well, we're going to handle these things by phone call, there's no other way, or we're going to handle these things by email, or we're going to whatever. How do you guys handle that stuff?
Yeah, life is so beautiful and easy when we founded the company in the same town. Oh, that was so great. It only lasted for like 8 months. And now we are virtual. Yeah. So we have, we were actually just talking about this today. And because it's something that we've been doing really well, but we also need to be better about, we have a meeting rhythm. So we have our leadership team meetings and all of that stuff we do within our team, but we meet together once a week and meet around our strategic priorities. And we talk about our strategic goals as a company and how we're doing on those things and hold each other accountable. So that meeting rhythm we started last year, and it's been a game changer for us. Once a week, 1 hour, intentional time where we go through the top most important things for the business. So we do that. We do call each other a lot, because not only are we business partners, but we're friends. But we've also had to be really intentional about that. Hey, this is friend time. Hey, this is business time. And that's really helped our relationship as well, because we want to have a friendship just as much as we want to have a business relationship. And it's very easy when you work with someone to talk about work all the time. So that's been important. And then kind of going through, I think over the years, I don't know that we've spoken about it, but we kind of know with each other what is an urgent matter, what is an important matter, and what's just kind of like a thing, a serious, maybe it's serious, not serious thing that's happening. And so we've kind of learned that when certain things happen, it's a pick up the phone situation. When something's happening with a team member, maybe someone's resigning, or we have a client situation, that's probably a pick up the phone moment. If it's I just need to update you on whatever's going on, typically that can happen via email. We use Slack within our organization. So we'll Slack for quick things. I need a quick answer on this, you know, but if it's something that is going to involve more detail, I need your thoughts on this, we're either going to do that in a phone call or we're going to do it in our strategic meeting. And so we've kind of had to, I guess we've had those conversations over the years, but we've learned from each other. This is something I know that she's going to want to hear over the phone, or she's going to want to talk about, and vice versa. Or this is just a quick update. We can send an email, whatever. But I think defining what's urgent, what's important, and having those rhythms really helps all of that to stay in sync. Because the biggest thing for us is we're a larger organization now than when we started. And so it's much harder for us to stay in sync, because there's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of things that are not in our direct control anymore. We have team members and leaders that handle things. And so that rhythm of communication and kind of our update system helps us stay in check on that stuff.
Sure. That's a great segue into the next question I had, which was about, you know, so now you are a larger organization. One of the things you mentioned that you struggle with sometimes is the delegation of things. And that's, you know, when you go from a company of five, I'm sure then to suddenly this, you know, not suddenly, but then to have a large organization, really, how do you let go of things? I imagine that can be a real struggle. So how do you deal with that?
Very carefully. Yeah, you know, this is our baby, right? Like, this is our mm-hmm. baby that we built from company of two, from client one to now client over 500. Like, it's our baby. And it's really hard. Those of you who are moms out there, you know, it's hard to, you don't just hand your baby to someone and say, take care of it. So delegation is very similar. And it's really funny. I tell people all the time, I think it's really funny that I run an outsourcing company and I have a hard time delegating. One, because I think you have to learn and release that people are going to do things differently than you're going to do them. And that's okay. They're going to fail and that's okay. They're going to learn from that. And you kind of have to decide along the way what is really critical and it has to be done right and what is not. You also have to learn the people you're working with. You have to build that same trust I talked about with Diana. You have to build that with the people you're delegating to. And so having the right people in the right spaces within your organization helps you to do that. Slowly handing things over, starting with the things that you're really not good at. It's really easy to give those things away or the things that you don't like to do. I mean, I really hate my inbox. I think that's where my soul goes to die every day because there's so many emails and so many things. And so that's a really easy thing for me to have someone help me with because I'm not super organized with that. Like nothing would be categorized if it was just me left to my own devices. So that's something that's really easy for someone to help me with because they make it easier for me. But yeah, carefully, intentionally, trusting people, delegating one thing at a time. I love Brené Brown talks about this in her book, Dare to Lead. She talks about this idea of painting done and making sure that you're not just saying, hey, Jamie, build social media content. How vague is that? You know, you have to paint done for that person so that one, it gives them context. It shows them the importance of it. And then it gives them an idea of what success or what a great finished product looks like to you. So that's something I've really had to start implementing and working on better is like, this is what I want you to do. And this is what done looks like. This is what for me, it looks like, cause it might be totally different than what you have in your head. And that's been important for me cause I'm not always really good at the tiny details. I will just be like, here, do this. And then I'll get it back and be like, this is not at all what I wanted. Because people can't read my mind, shocker. So I think that's been a really cool concept for me to implement, painting done, and kind of knowing and predicting that people are going to fail and that's okay, and helping them learn from that and giving them an opportunity. And then slowly, you know, delegating things little by little, starting with the small stuff to now, you know, we have people now who are in charge of our project management, our client success, our marketing, which are all things that, you know, we did in the early days and we're not doing them anymore. And so knowing that it's a process over time, but you are going to be the biggest detriment to your company's growth if you don't begin to use the people that you have hired because you believe in their skill and they believe in the organization, you know, so you want to make sure you have the right people, but then that you're allowing them, you're giving them the opportunity to try and succeed, but also to fail forward, because that's half of what a journey of being an entrepreneur is anyway, is just failing forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So for all of those people who might be starting a business, thinking about starting or founding a business, what are some of the things that like the wish you would have known things, looking back on the 4 years of your business that you would share with people who are just starting the journey or thinking about getting started?
Sure. I think just where I'm at in my just personal journey right now, I wish I would have known to set boundaries earlier because it's really easy in the early days. Like you think you're busy, right? Like you are busy, but you think this is like super busy and it's going to get less busy. Not true. Not true. I wish I would have known that. Not true. I wish I would have set boundaries earlier when there wasn't as much going on so that I would have had those rhythms as we've grown in scale to where we are, because it's a lot easier. It would have been, I guess, in reflection, easier to set them back then than it is now because I've had a pattern of behavior for a long time. I think the other thing I wish I would have known, and And this just would have helped me again for how I think and do things, is that it doesn't get easier. I think we have this misnomer that as you grow in your business, you do it for a couple of years. And maybe if you're a solopreneur, that's different. But for the type of organization we are, it doesn't get easier. Your problems don't get easier. But on an encouraging note, I think you get more confident in dealing with problems. But they don't get easier. They get more complex and more challenging. But I guess you get a little bit more confident in dealing with them. So I wish I would have known to think about process earlier. We have some really great processes now, and they've taken us, and they do take time to develop, because you do something with a team of five and it works for a team of five, then it doesn't work for a team of 10, right? But I'm not always a super detailed SOP, standard operating procedure kind of person. And so for me, I would have started some of those things earlier and put even simple processes for myself in place, like how I categorize things in folders. Like for some of you out there, that probably comes super naturally to you, but it doesn't for me. So for me, having some of those processes from the very beginning, so it would have been easier to delegate. So it would have been, it would be easier to find things and do things because I already have it. And I started with something just basic in a Word document writing out, and I could have just adjusted it as we've gone, which we have over the last couple of years. But for me, there's some stuff I wish I would have started in that realm a lot earlier.
Sure. Is there any one piece of advice that you would absolutely give?
I always tell people, make sure you are super passionate and you believe in what you're doing. Because that is what is going to get you out of bed on the hard days when they come. Not if they come, it's when they will happen, and you will have epic failures. Like, I still experience epic failures. I experienced one yesterday, and it's Tuesday. Like, you're going to fail as an entrepreneur. I heard someone say the other week at a networking event, it was so good. It's like being an entrepreneur is like a roller coaster of failure. Sometimes you fail at like 9 a.m. and then by noon you've had one big gain and success, and then you fail again, and then you're like on the road. It's like up and down, up and down. So yeah, I wish I would have known that, and I want to encourage you, be really passionate and believe in what you're doing, so that in those moments of failure and even in the moments of success, you remember why you're in it to begin with, and that your failure doesn't define you. You're on the road to building out whatever that passion and dream was or is.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. This has been an incredible interview. I think you're just so insightful, and I think there are a lot of people who are going to benefit from the advice that you've chosen to share today. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here. It's so fun to talk about just the experience and even just have moments to reflect back, because we don't always take those. So it's really cool to think about the olden days and the current days. Stay connected with us. We would love to connect with you. You can find me on social media. You can find Wise. I'm sure they'll share those handles. But feel free to reach out, ask questions, and connect with me or with us as an organization. We would love to support you on your entrepreneurial journey.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely share all of that in the show notes and in all the posts. So thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about the Association for Military Spouse Entrepreneurs or are interested in becoming a member, visit AMSE.co. That's AMSE.co. You can find the AMSE agency on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and all links can be found on the AMSE website. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk next week on Owning Up.